God, take 1 minute and pray with your neighbor.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
We are speaking this tongue.
Amen.
Speak to the church.
Amen.
Speak to each
man. Amen. Amen.
Bring us on.
Amen.
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 Amen, Lord.
Amen.
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 Lord, 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 we treasure your presence.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we'd like to be face to face with you in your glory, allowing you to speak. Lord, you know our every need. Lord, you know what we need. Lord, we open to you to receive what you have for us. Speak to each one.
Well, let's continue, saints, on the fellowship, on this line of cultivating, perhaps in truth, restoring our personal relationship with the Lord. I would like to say that relationship is still a general way of putting things. For a relationship between two people, of course, we are especially here talking about a romantic one, a marriage relationship between us and the Lord, between man and God. That relationship can only be built or cultivated through the spending of time of the two parties. I cannot think of any other way to build such a relationship. Even long-distance romantic relationship is hard to maintain. It's just not normal. Do you see what I'm saying? The more normal romantic relations are cultivated by the physical presence of a man and a woman, of two parties. And the solidity and the intensity of that relationship is directly proportionate to the time spent together, the both quantity and quality. Quantity and quality. That means the amount of time and the richness of the time. There is no substitute. I don't care whether you have Skype or phone or text message, none of those things can replace this in a human relationship. And that's precisely the burden for this weekend. The burden is not even generally to talk about our relationship with the Lord, which we did last night. But hopefully with these next few sessions, especially today, two sessions, well, tomorrow as well, we will get into the times. The time. How do we spend our time with the Lord? I have some deep concern within me that even in the Lord's recovery, not all the saints are practiced, are exercised, are knowledgeable in how to spend this kind of quality time with the Lord. Not to mention the fact that I even sometimes put a question mark on how much time is spent with the Lord. This is why yesterday I spent that much time to talk about the internet, to talk about, these things. Not because I want to talk about them, but I think today that is sort of the common denominator among us, all these technological devices and tools at our fingertips, which we need, by the way, and which we should use for, our daily affairs. But it is exactly those things, that, as I pray this morning, that has robbed us, that has stolen from us, that has cheated us of all the necessary and sweet and wondrous moments that God has ordained for us to enjoy, so that He, through those times, can accomplish what He wants to do, which is simply to become everything to us, to dispense all of Himself in His riches for us to enjoy, so that we would partake of Him, we would truly eat Him, we would even assimilate and digest and absorb Him, so that His elements would really become wrought into us, to the point that we become mingled and blended with Him, and even to become one with Him. This is what we call God's economy, isn't it? And all this takes place at a certain moment, at a certain time, at a certain season. They don't take place just because you read a book and you come to know this fact and somehow you will it into being. It does not happen. The inwrotting or the inworking of Christ into a man is perhaps the greatest thing that can take place, or is the greatest thing that is taking place in the universe. God has no other work. God has only one work, that is to work His Son into us. Amen. Am I right?
Amen.
And yet, without these moments, without these times, it's impossible even for God to do that work. So Satan, I would say, knows this for sure. So all through human history, has devised all kinds of things in the human culture. The human culture is not a matter just of something good or something bad. Obviously, we know it's fallen, but it is not just that. The human culture is devised by man as a substitute for God, because man has lost God due to the fall. So man must find something to replace what he lost, to satisfy his needs, to meet all of his various necessities. And so, you know the history. That's when music was born. That's when tents and architecture was started, to build buildings for man to live in, and cities. That's when weaponry were conceived and produced for man's protection. Why? Because man lost God. He had no protection. And also farming. All of that. Man has lost his source of food supply. Man has lost his source of entertainment, enjoyment. Man has lost his dwelling, a place to live. He became homeless, banished from the Lord's presence. That's the fallen man. So he had to do all these things. And all these things over time evolved into the human culture of the human society today. All the things around us are meant to be substitutes. They're meant to be replacements of the lost God. And Satan would continue to do these things and even enhance and build upon these things, and to this today with high technology, to continue to now even to put all of human culture in a single device. Literally. That you can access everything you need. Everything you need, from entertainment to, you know what I mean, to knowledge, to everything. It's right here. He's making it easier and easier for the purpose of replacing God, of keeping you away from God, of occupying more practically your time and your attention. So that today, not only the unsaved, but I say today the Christians are in a great crisis. The crisis of the Christian life is what? Is Satan's what? Robbing of our time. Making us feel that we need to do this and do that, constantly busy when we really don't need to be. Making you feel you need this and you need that. You must have this or you must have that. And today, much more in this country, sports. Talk about entertainment and preoccupation of time. I'm not in the realm of right or wrong. You know, this is right, this is bad, this is good. I am not in that realm at all. I am in the realm of, where have you put God? Where is God in your life? Where is the Lord? So, instead of being a man, a Christian man, who by definition is a Christ man, whose world should be Christ, whose breath, whose air is Christ, whose supply is Christ. The song here by Watchman Nee, "My one world thou art, whose everything should be Christ to him," he has been reduced. Reduced. I mean, when I say he, I don't mean the Christian, I mean the Lord. Has been reduced to a far corner over here in his life. At just one of his Facebook friends. God is only one of your Facebook friends among thousands. And because he's invisible, because he has not much physical things to offer to you, he tends to be forgotten. He tends to be relegated to an as-need category. So when you got cancer, you go there. When you lost a job, you go there. When you find yourself, you know, in some kind of great difficulty, you rush over there. Other than that, my goodness, my world is filled with all kinds of good things. Packed with them, in fact. Look at the spiritual people in the Bible. Look at the psalmists. Look at some of the patriarchs. Look at the apostles. And let us look at so many dear Christians over the centuries. I tell you, they did not live this way. Christ was everything to them. In fact, they have no time for other things. They have only time for the Lord. Their senses, the visual senses, the audible senses, their smell, their taste, they were just wrapped up with the Lord. They couldn't have enough of the Lord. They couldn't spend enough time with the Lord to gain the Lord, to enjoy the Lord, to possess the Lord. And because they didn't have smartphones in those days, they didn't have the television, they didn't have, you know, all these conveniences, somewhat it was easier for them to do that. I tell you, the 21st century Christian is in crisis, including us in the Lord's recovery. There's a battle. There's a battle waging right now. And that is a fight for time. A fight for your attention. A fight for your bodily availability. And that's why I have this burden this weekend, to be extremely practical with us. You lose this battle, dear saints, you've lost it. You can still come to the meetings. You can still do something in an obligatory way, in a perfunctory way. I call it the word, the Bible calls it lip service. And Jehovah rebuke the children of Israel. You draw near to me with your lips, but you are far away from me in your heart. I fear that it is possible for us to do this even in the church life, in the Lord's recovery. You just dash here to the meeting, and you can't wait to dash out to get on with your life, with your business. Or in the morning, you just crack open your holy word for morning revival for a few minutes. You can't wait to close it and get on to your whatever, your Facebook. The Lord is like, what? That's all he deserves of us. And here he is, our Redeemer, our Creator, our Savior, our Master, our life. Yet he is, that's all he deserves. That's all we have time for him. No wonder the lack of spirituality. No wonder the lack of living Christ. No wonder the lack of growth in life. No wonder the lack of impact the church on the earth today in the community. No wonder the shortage of the gospel. I would say even the lack of holiness, the lack of victory in the Christian life. It's all due to this one thing, the absence, the reduction of this kind of time with the Lord. I can almost trace it. I'm tracing it all the way to this root. I have a deep burden, brothers and sisters. After this weekend, we don't just have some sheets of paper here with some notes, that there would be a genuine revival and restoration in our midst. starting with one person, and that's you. Don't look at the other person. Don't go after the other person. You. You restore your life. Check your life. Why is your life today like this? I'm not happy. Why is it like this? You just keep searching for the root of it. The root is some time ago you have lost touch with the Lord. Your relationship with Him is just a facade, a masquerade, an outward, I wouldn't say pretense, but just an outward thing. Timothy, it says, some of these people, you know, these heretics and what have you, they what? It says they have the form without the power. There's no spiritual dynamism. There's no vitality. There's no expression. And that's not because you have a harder life than me, you have met with so many troubles. No. You know what I have seen? I've seen, saints, the more trouble and suffering in their life, the more they shine with Christ. It's not the troubles. I tell you, if you're right with the Lord, and you have these built-up times in the Lord's presence, all the environmental situation allowed by the Lord would only work good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. I fear that we have lapsed into a mundane, routine, common, whatever, church life, Christian life. Doing the right things, not being particularly sinful or worldly, but just tasteless, like salt losing its taste, losing its function. Well, saints, I hope we can spend some time on 24 words this morning, and I will tell you, I can spend one word for one message, not just to, you know, talk, but I'll tell you, you know, in the roots, you sing the, you know, in a branch, a plant, you have roots, right? We're here talking about the root life here. But with all the roots, you have these root hairs, right? You have these things so-called root hairs. And the root hairs are the ultimate contact point between that plant and the soil. That's where the moisture, that's where the nutrients, the chemicals, that's where all those things move between the soil and the plant. That's where absorption takes place. That's what caused the tree to grow unseen because it's under the earth, maybe miles under the earth. All you see is the fruit, you know, the outside of the tree. You never see what's underneath. But without what is underneath, you will not see what's above the earth. I would like to say, dear saints, we don't need to worry about what's above the earth. Take care of what's beneath. And especially take care of the root hairs. And these points, these words, is an attempt to bring you to, or help us to, some of these root hairs. That's why it is done in such a, you know, all these so many words. I told some brothers, I said, last night, I now have another half a dozen words that is not here. And trust me, I will have more. And it's not because I just love to play with words and, you know, just to impress you. Forget about that. Forget about that. Now, we sang 389 just now. That song has a dagger. That means the song was written by Watchman Nee. For those of you who don't know, those hymns in the hymnal with a star are hymns written by Witness Lee. The daggers are by Watchman Nee. This one is by Watchman Nee. The first song, 784, we sang by Witness Lee. All right. Actually, I tell you, there are many other hymns written by them and others in our hymnal. And our hymnal is one of the best hymnal around. I can guarantee you that. It is compiled by after a survey of thousands of hymns amongst Christians, selecting the best and put together. And I'll tell you, there are many hymns in here, without a dagger, without a star, that are very, very helpful to us in our times with the Lord. In fact, most of the hymns in this song, in this hymnal, are good for those times, singable in those times. You know, for example, the first word is desire today. Actually, I thought about it. No, I said, man, you're wrong. The first word is not desire. The first word should be need. Need. You know, need generates a desire. It's not here. I'm just telling you, this is the words I'm adding already. There's a song, a famous Christian song. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Do you know that song? Have you ever sung that song? I need thee every moment. A Christian song. Song probably you have not sung. But I'll tell you, that song is not that deep in that sense. But I tell you, if you have never sung that song, you have not touched or experienced the reality of that song, I tell you, I already know your personal life with the Lord is not that deep. This song, 389, is one of the first songs I learned as a Christian when I was 13 years old. After I got saved, I got saved at 11. And I was introduced to this song early on. And like many young people, I love this song. I love this song. This song became my morning watch song. Because it talks about morning to evening. Huh? You know that. And I like to tell you my story of how I was initiated into the preciousness of these kind of times with the Lord. I was 16. And I was at a retreat, a young people's retreat, a high school retreat, 1 week in duration. And I have just returned to the Lord after some years of being kind of a prodigal, somewhat away from the church life. In my junior high and my early high school years, the Lord had mercy on me through the prayers of the saints. I came back, and that was one of my first retreats I came to. So I sort of was being reinitiated back to the Christian life and church life. I was in Hong Kong. That's where I grew up. I remember the place. I knew exactly where it is. It's still there in Hong Kong, in a school. And as part of this retreat, we're required in the schedule to have private morning watch. We call them morning watch, not morning revival in those days. And I never had that before. So they just tell you, you know, 1 hour you have to be with the Lord. So I got up in the morning and close to this school happened to be a cemetery. And that is a cemetery of the fallen British soldiers. You know, Hong Kong is a British colony. And they fought, you know, the Japanese and so on. And a lot of these soldiers died. And they were all buried in this military cemetery right there, which is in the south side of the Hong Kong Island, looking at the sea. It's just right at the cliffs, looking at the sea. Very beautiful spot. So I have nowhere to go. I went to the cemetery. And it was early in the morning, the sun was just rising, and I found myself a place, and that place is one of the tombstones of a certain British soldier. And so I sat on this tombstone. Because all the grass was wet, I sat on the tombstone. And there I had my first memorable time that I can remember with the Lord. I was 16. I opened the Bible to, I don't remember where I was. And I began to have time with the Lord. I didn't know how, you know what I mean. I just knew they're supposed to do this. Well, in brief, I'll tell you, that hour, I don't remember how long it was, as it was a long time. I learned to just pray in a simple way, to meditate, if you will, to meditate on the Lord, and with the open word, to muse, to pray with the word in a simple way. You know, how much can a 16-year-old do? Not much truth, not much anything. But brothers and sisters, I will tell you, this is what I wanted, my point. I forgot the content of everything. But I can never to this day forget the taste. The taste. I can never forget that taste. It's like you have this wonderful meal, you will just remember its smell for the rest of your life. I tell you, I never felt God so near to me. I never felt heaven so close to the earth. I never felt so enveloped by the love of God. I never felt so close to Jesus. That experience that I had left a taste within me that I kept seeking, looking for the rest of my life. To me, that's heaven on earth. That's it. If I have that, I don't need anything. The song says, where Jesus is, my joy is there. That was absolutely the case. I knew that taste. I have tasted God. And He was good. And I knew, without the words, I didn't know enjoy, I didn't know masticate, I didn't know absorb, I didn't know any of those words. But that's exactly what I was experiencing. Today, of course, my time with the Lord is much more advanced than that. Of course, it should. But I will tell you, the taste is the same. Brothers and sisters, this morning I would like to ask you, do you have that taste? If you do, that taste will always drive you to want more. I'm concerned that the brothers and sisters have not acquired that taste, so they don't even know to want it. There's no need in them for it. Hence, there is no desire for it. Now, that's just one man's testimony. There are plentiful of testimonies by many, many saints amongst us and in the past that love the Lord. I know it. Why? Because I'll tell you, not only I had this experience in those days, I began to read a lot of biographies of Christian servants of God, etc. And how, to the man, they talk about this aspect of their Christian life, about their lives with the Lord. I was deeply impressed. And so you can say, my life is a constant seeking of God in this regard. Last night, Brother Tom Smith referred us to the case of Mary Magdalene. There was Mary Magdalene, who on the day of resurrection went with a few sisters to look for the Lord. Actually, they went with spices with a view to finding his body and anoint the dead body of Jesus. That was why they went that morning. And lo and behold, when they arrived at the tomb, the stone was rolled away and the body was not there. Some other disciples came and say, probably in their heart, right? This body, the Lord is risen, right? The Lord was gone. He's risen as he said he would. Or some other less believing ones would say the body's stolen, which became the prevalent news or story. Yet this sister was not there for a factual news, for a fulfillment of prophecy. This woman is after one thing. He wants to find that man. Nothing will satisfy her until he finds where he was. Until dead or alive. It was this kind of seeking that caused the resurrected Christ to break his protocol, so to speak, that before his first ascension, secret ascension to God, you know, when the Lord comes, there will be the secret side and the open side. When the Lord ascended, same thing. There's a secret aspect and the open aspect. That before the secret ascension of Christ, which ascension was as a first fruits offered to God according to the Old Testament type for God's personal satisfaction before others can enjoy him. That was Christ's secret ascension. That the Lord broke that protocol, if you will, to show himself to this desperately seeking woman, his resurrected person or body, with the word Mary. And this woman could hardly believe it. But that sound, that voice was familiar. So when he or she turned around, she saw and said, "Rabbi, I tell you, brothers and sisters, do you know that voice? Do you know that voice? Is that voice familiar to you? When did you hear that voice? I tell you, if you have heard that voice, hast thou seen him, heard him, known him? Is not thine a captured heart?" She has heard him. She was the one actually who washed the Lord's feet. That voice satisfied her. That sight of this peerless worth satisfied her. And she can go. She could go. This weekend's speaking is not mainly in the realm of truth. It's mainly in the realm of experience. That's why I'm talking in this way. In the Old Testament, I like to hark back to last night, all this relationship between man and God were very personal. Eventually, it is for something corporate, but they're all intensely personal. We mentioned Abraham, the friend of God. That whole episode of Jehovah with two angels visiting him and Sarah at the Oaks of Mamre to be fed a meal and to have that conversation. Leading to Jehovah saying in his heart, "This man, he will do whatever I say. How can I hide what is in my heart that I would do related to Sodom and Gomorrah?" And as if cued, you know, Abraham. Actually, Abraham, by that time, being a friend of God, knew what was in God. They were that close. They were like friends. God would know what's in Abraham, and Abraham would know what is in God, in Jehovah. So he stood there and just waited until Jehovah, that famous glorious intercession of Abraham on behalf of Lot, you know, his nephew, who was living in Sodom and Gomorrah there, in Sodom. Well, that whole story details the kind of personal interaction, communion between man and God. We should experience that. Moses was 40 days in the mountain. It says, without eating, without drinking, face to face with God. Jehovah said, "I mainly speak to people through night visions, through dreams. But I spoke to Moses face to face." That's how close Moses was with Jehovah. Through that time, I tell you, God imparted his desire, his commandments, and all the patterns related to the tabernacle to Moses. And much more than that, by being in his presence, God infused himself into this man. So when he came down from the mountain, Moses was absolutely shining with God. They have to put a veil on his face. He was absorbing God. He was absorbing God. You know, saints, next time when I see you, I would not ask you, brother, did you do your morning revival today? That's a kind of a, not an accurate question to ask. I would like to say, brother, did you absorb God this morning? You can do morning revival, but didn't absorb anything of God. The morning revival material is a help. But it's not a crutch. And it can become a crutch to some of us. The main point is not the book. The main point is Christ. This is a means that if we would exercise our spirit and turn our heart, the Word becomes the excellent means for us to contact the Living One. That contact is what we need. Not just having read some verses or some material. Without that contact, you can do morning revival, but you are hardly a vital Christian. You're a dutiful one, maybe, but you're not a living one. I hope you're getting my point here. In the New Testament, let's start with Jesus the man. Go read especially the book of Luke. You'll find how often this man had to retreat even from his disciples, to go to the wilderness or the desert to be alone with his Father. He made it very clear, alone. Sometimes all night. To do what? To just be with his God as a man, with the Father. So he would, what, be recharged, if you will. He would be supplied as a man. He would eat the Father so that he can live by the Father, so that he can speak the words of the Father and do the work of the Father. Without such moments, such times, even the man Jesus could not fulfill his ministry. That was the Lord. Now, if the Lord needs this, what about us? Well, brothers and sisters, again, you read the whole Bible, you survey the lives of the proper believers in church history, you will find this to be identical. The same throughout. There is no substitute. There is no replacement of this one thing, and that is time with God. Time with the Lord of a most personal direct nature. And when I say time, listen, I'm not talking about 3 minutes, because that's hardly any time. You say, how long? There's nothing rigid. There's no rules. But I would tell you, in these days, if you mean business, spend a longer time. And I will tell you, everything will fight that. Your work your profession, your career, your marriage, your family, your children, your daily necessities, your car, everything will start to fight that. So that you will not spend that much time with the Lord. Because when you do, something good will happen. Something divine will take place. The church will be built. You will grow. And Satan cannot tolerate that. So everything is designed by him just to rob you of that time. Well, I feel these days, dear saints, having seen this, we need to rise up and revolt against that in a deliberate way and rebel against that, if you will. We are not ignorant of his devices, right? Didn't Paul say that? I tell you, the devices is not some kind of evil thing standing over there. It's just these things, right? Just these things, calling you, beckoning you. And now, I tell you, in all these things, you have Android, you have apps, you have iPhone apps. If you just use one app a day, it'll take you the whole day. One app even for 5 minutes. You have so many apps. I've seen some people with the whole computer is full of apps. I think they downloaded every app or something. Just to use each app will take so much of your mental energy, your time, that just to run through every app, not to mention to get into every app, including games, right, young people, young brothers? Fighting out this, finding out that, I must know the latest, I must know this, this and that, before you know it, you're ready to go to bed. To get up the next day to do the same thing again. God, what God? Lord Jesus, I love you. We'll just say a few times, it's okay. It's a crisis, brothers and sisters. We're in crisis. Now, let us come to these words. My burden is that we would have a way to enter into this very sweet time with the Lord. And I hope the young people would acquire a taste. You would acquire a taste that you will never forget for the rest of your lives. That taste of God. Senior saints, older saints, we probably have that taste. But that taste might be quite foreign now, or that comes quite few and far between times now. I pray to the Lord that taste would be re-intensified. That we would do something to our daily lives and even reorder our lives now. I mean that. Reorder our lives now. And I don't believe you don't have 30 minutes a day for the Lord. I absolutely refuse to believe it. We're only spending it elsewhere. No wonder Paul says, redeem the time. The time is there. It's available. However, you need to redeem it. You need to seize it. Else it would be gone. One day, 2 days, is gone. And there would be no accumulation in us in eternity of that memorable enjoyment of that hidden manna. You know, the hidden manna is put into the golden pot as a memory, eternal memorial of what the children of God ate. To those who overcome, I will give them to eat of the hidden manna. Brothers and sisters, how much hidden manna do you have? I'm afraid our morning revival is just grabbing some outside manna, public manna, a public sort of eating. There's no accumulation of private, secret experiences of the Lord that only you and the Lord knows and nobody else, as a memorial for eternity. Now, let's come to group two. I mentioned already that actually before desire, there is actually need. Everything, if you want to do anything, it starts with a need. I am sometimes concerned, I look at this brother, there's no sense of need. Like, he's got everything. I'm quite okay. Yes, we are quite okay. But if we're healthy, there's always a need within us for the Lord. It's unspeakable. It just, I just need you, Lord. I need to be with you, Lord. I need to touch your presence again, Lord. You know, that need, that cry is always present there. Well, anyway, the first word here is desire. The need produces a desire. And I cannot say too much about this, dear brothers and sisters. If the Lord would bless you and me with a desire for Him, that to me is the greatest blessing any human being can have. I tell you, thirst is a blessing. I mean a thirst for God. It's the greatest blessing there is. I ask the Lord, Lord, don't give me this, don't give me that. Give me a thirst for you. And I will be blessed. And I am blessed. It is the most heartbreaking thing to run into brothers and sisters who have lost all their desire for the Lord. There's no desire. Even if they want to conjure it up, it doesn't come. Even if they prime the pump, nothing comes out. I tell you, that is the biggest blinking red light in a Christian. You are in very dangerous zone when the desire is gone. Gone. No heart, no need, no desire for the word, nah. For prayer, you're just carrying on like a zombie. Dear saints, oh God, this is a psalmist, you are my God. I seek you diligently. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints in longing for you. The synonym of desire is long. Another place, this well-known verse, whom do I have in heaven but you? And besides you, there is nothing I desire on earth. Wow. Wow, brothers and sisters. Is this your cry? Nothing. No amount of material things, no amount of whatever things I desire on earth. But my soul longs, indeed even faints, for the courts of Jehovah. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living God. I didn't give you the references. It's all, you know, it's the scriptures. You'll find it there. In Isaiah, it says, your name is the desire of my soul. My soul desires you in the night. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you in the dawn. Isaiah. Blessed, dear saints, are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, which is Christ. There's no greater blessing than this. I would ask you, if you mean business, to respond to the word this weekend. Start here. Start here. You say, how do I spend my time with the Lord? You know, I told some of the people after I created these 72 words, I said, I decided to suggest you, like young people, spend 1 week on one word and get through with it. 72 words, 72 weeks, that is a year and a half. You say, oh, that's too long. That is not too long if it builds up in you such healthy spiritual habit. No, it's not too long. So spend 1 week on this word desire and get into these verses and pray to the Lord, Lord, inculcate in me, breed in me, generate in me an insatiable, lifelong desire for your living self. Pray this prayer and see if the Lord will answer it. Amen. Lord, if everything else would be taken away, be stripped away, Lord, leave one thing in me. That is my thirst for you. Amen. How about that? Amen. How about that? Amen. The tornado comes. In Alabama, right? You know. The wildfires in Texas. The earthquake, the tsunami in Japan. Things are just gone. The whole town is leveled. Nothing. If that would happen, can you say, thank you, Lord. My desire for you is still here. How about that? That is, no possession can compare with this possession. Amen. This is what makes me rich. All right, choose. I put this word after some deliberation. Choose. We would think, my, if the Lord have mercy on me, he will come to me, etc. Yeah, he will. But I tell you, in the Bible, God made us with a will to choose him. He would not twist our arm to come to him. He would not force us to spend time with him. God never would do such a work. Never. You have to choose him. You have to want him. So Joshua would say things like, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. You choose. As for me and my house, we chose already. We'll serve Jehovah. And Moses at the end of Deuteronomy says, life and death set before you. Choose life for you and for your seed. Choose. You choose. standing right here. God is delighted when man would of their own free will choose him. What a shame to the enemy. What a joy to him. A man standing here, Lord, right now I don't choose the computer games. That's a choice, by the way. You don't lapse into it. Don't say, I lapse into it. No, you chose to do that. In the same manner, you can say, Lord, right now, I would deliberately, by will, act of will, not do this, not do that, not take care of this, not take care of this. I choose right now to take care of you. This next hour, this next period of time, I make the choice, I make the decision. No one can change my mind. I'm going to spend time with you alone. Do that and see if that will honor him. Don't have a weak will. When you have a weak will, everything will supplant. Everything will take away and fill in that vacuum. There's no vacuum here. There's a strong will here. Don't be so will-less when it comes to God. Don't let your life run you. Don't let your schedule control you. Don't let the needs dictate you. Let God and the thirst for Him determine. Be the priority. And use your will to cooperate, to choose Him. When it comes to choosing, it's those moments. You know what I mean. You can do this or that. When you pray, the telephone rings. You have a choice. When you want to spend time with the Lord, oops, I have 10 things I forgot to do, which you didn't remember until now. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. That's the time you say, I'm going to choose. Oh, you forgot to water your plants. It hasn't been watered for 3 days. You just remember it when the Lord is calling you. I think after you water the plants, an hour later, the plants will still be there, I think. Do you see what I'm saying? Our mind even play tricks with us. They say, oh, urgent. Just when you want to be with the Lord, you have a headache. You have a headache. All kinds of things. Choose the better thing. The Lord said to Martha, Mary chose the better thing by sitting at my feet. It's a choice to sit there. To listen to the Lord. Believe. These are wonderful root hairs. Believe. I tell you, nothing honor God than faith. No one can draw near to God except by believing. The act of coming forward to God, which is repeatedly spoken in the book of Hebrews, are all acts of faith. You all know that Hebrews is a book of faith, on faith. So we all must not shrink back when God calls, when God beckons, when the Spirit is speaking, come. All of us have to not shrink back. All of us have to what? Come forward with boldness. In faith. With a sprinkled conscience to the holiest of all. That's where we meet the Lord. That's where we meet the Lord. So, not just choose Him, but what? Exercise your spirit of faith to believe Him with all of your heart. Everything else is not worth your believing. In fact, everything else is a lie. Exercise your faith to believe, if I'm with the Lord, I will meet Him. If I'm with the Lord, something divine will happen. If I'm with the Lord, something good will happen. If I'm with the Lord, something will result for God's economy. You have to believe that. And don't believe anything that the devil says, that the devil whispers in your ear. Next word. Oh, this word is huge. Simple word. Come. Come, brothers and sisters. Well, I don't have... You have to read these verses. Would you promise we go... I mean, I don't have time. But all these verses are there. You know? Those who believe on Him will not be put to shame. What a promise! What a promise! You believe in anything, brothers and sisters, that thing will fail you and mock you one of these days. You believe in money, that money will turn around and mock you as you wail, as the song says. Only God is worth believing. Now, come. Come. Oh, full of verses. You know, in the Old Testament, Abraham came near to Jehovah to intercede. The priests, all to serve God, have to come near to Jehovah. Proximity means something. Don't be those disciples who follow the Lord far off. They're following, but they're far off. Proximity is something, is important. How close you are to the Lord. But as for me, the psalmist says, drawing near to God is good for me. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Ezekiel says, they shall come near to me to minister to me. That is the priests. You want to minister to God? Can't do it far from Him. You've got to be close to minister. Our times with the Lord, these personal, private times with the Lord, is to our ministry to Him, our worship of Him. And that distance is very important. That distance is very important. Come to me, you who toil and are burdened. Come forward. James, famous words, draw near to me, to God, and He will draw near to you. Friends, this is what a promise. What a promise. So spend time. If the church in Irvine, every saint, starting today, would spend on the average an additional 15 minutes, that's all I'm asking, of this quality time with the Lord, I think next week we will see the church up here. Automatically. automatically. And if we boost that time, not by law, but by, you know, growth, to 30 minutes, the church will be up in the roof. I tell you, all manners of good things, victory, right? I mentioned holiness, living Christ, the power to live and share the gospel. Oh, to serve the Lord. And even our family life, our marriage life, I tell you, everything will change if we would only do this. But you have to pay a price to do this. This is not cheap. This is not cheap. Yeah? Buy gold, the Lord says. Not free gold. Buy gold from me. Turn. I said yesterday already, actually, the word, another word is return. Okay, let's just make it the same thing. Isaiah says, turn to me and be saved. I mentioned already, again and again, Jeremiah, return to me. And every time, most of the time when God says to Israel, return to me, he always says, return to me with your whole heart. The heart is the turning organ. Whenever the heart will turn to the Lord, the veil will be removed. This is not the spirit. We say turn to the spirit. This is not that. This is turning your heart. The heart is like flypaper. Sticks to everything. Or rather, everything sticks to it. I don't know during a day how many times of returning we have to do. For me, plenty of times. Turning. And then returning, and then returning, and then returning. Mostly an exercise of our heart. And here's another promise that is just like James. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, return to me, and I will return to you. Even the Lord left us after we left him. But if we would return, just like we would come, he would also return his face and cause his face to shine on us again. Turn. Next word is a strange one, maybe. It's stop. You say, what? I tell you, this is a significant piece of root hair. Some of us, we just don't know how to stop. Especially with today's age where everything have to move at warp speed. You know, I don't know how people did it 1,000 years ago. They still live quite okay. But today it's like if things doesn't happen in warp speed, it's not happening. It's like 80 miles per hour is standing still. So, you know what I mean? Instant messages, instant reply, instant decisions, instant this and instant that, and all those instant things just rob us of our time of repose. We need to stop, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you a word of salvation. We need to stop. Just stop. You know, there's this famous saying, you know, stop this world, I want to get off, right? Or something like that. I don't know, whatever that is. Something like that. I think several times in a day you have to say this, stop this whole thing, I need to get off. I'm just spinning. The whole world, you are in a spin at warp speed, that you cannot even stop yourself. You have to keep running to keep yourself from falling down. The whole world has to keep moving, and you feel you have to keep moving, otherwise you'll be a dropout. If I don't rush to this thing, if I don't do this deal, if I don't this and that. I'll be lost. I'll be gone. So you have to be with the flow, with those thousand school of this fish and all turning this way, all turning that way. Meanwhile, there's this big fish, just waiting for you to all swallowed up by him. Yeah? This is how the world is, and this is how the world will end. School of fish. Everyone, actually, they study all these fish by instinct, move as one big school. Have you seen that? You know, some of these nature things, right? You don't know who took the lead. Nobody took the lead. Everybody took the lead, and everyone is doing the same thing. Now, they even use this kind of thing to psychologically study. I heard before, even these people in Wall Street who trade things, they are just this fish, school of fish. It's not just that. I tell you, everywhere, in the academia, in college, it's a big school of fish. Everybody is like this. Every kind of profession, the whole society. Are you one of those? Are you one of those? You should say, stop, I'm getting out of this. What I mean is, I don't mean to abdicate your responsibility. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you know that with everything moving so fast, you have no time for the Lord. And even you have time, your attention span for God is a few seconds. In my experience, I need to stop. And I need to stop for a long time. Just in order to stop it. So that I can be sensitive to the Lord's voice again. I can hear him again. I'll be out of the din and the noise and emotions, I can be in a calm situation. You know, that morning, I could not have that morning revival in Grand Central Station next to the ticket booth. You believe me, I would not have that experience. I was on a tomb where nobody moves. Everything is stopped. Time stood still for me. When time stood still, eternity begins. I tell you, eternity is God. So stop. You're saying, tell everything to stop. And you stop it. Sometimes you can control. You stop it. Stop this mash rush, this mad dash to what? I don't know. So Mary, again, who sat at the Lord's feet. Even Martha was very busy, right? You know that. And I'm not condemning Martha. But there's a point here. Someone stopped and chose the better part. He just stopped doing nothing. Wasting time, as far as the world is concerned. He's totally wasting time. You should be busy, man. What are you doing? You're doing nothing. You should be busy every moment. The world expects that. Any moment you're not doing something, something is wrong. No, something is not wrong. I need to be still. Be still, my soul. When my whole inside is in ripple, in a tempestuous situation, in a stormy situation, it's hard for you to contact the Lord. Hard for him to speak to you. Calm. So not only we have to stop, we have to stay still. He says in Psalms, be still before Jehovah and wait for him. In other places says, I have calmed and quieted my soul. You know, a tumultuous soul. A tumultuous soul. Hinders your fellowship with the Lord. A restless soul keeps you from a deeper fellowship with the Lord. You can remain in the surface. The deeper you are in the ocean, the calmer it is. The more you're by the shore, you have these waves and billows, and right? We wonder why we don't hear the Lord. Actually, the Lord is shouting. You don't hear Him. You don't hear Him. There's nothing with your hearing ability. It's because it's too noisy. It's way too noisy. I'd say that when you spend time with the Lord, go to a private place. Go to your backyard. Go up a hill. You can't have three TVs on and contact God. And you know, that happens in some situations. You have to shut off everything. I mean it. Shut off everything. And you'll find out you will not die when those things are shut off. I tell you, you don't know how many of a Christian life is ruined by the television. Not just secular people. I'm talking about Christians. Their Christian life, their Christian walk with the Lord is ruined by television. Not bad television, just television. And all kinds of distractions. Besides the defiling effect of it, okay? The immoral aspect of it. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about it just keeping you busy. Preoccupied. With very, very reduced time span and attention span for what it really, really counts. And that's God. That's the Lord. Next word, open. Open. Oh my, this is a great root hair. You're saying, I'm telling you how to do this. Stop, you calm yourself down. Calm yourself in the presence of the Lord. Just calm yourself. Don't even say that much. Just calm. You find how difficult it is to stay calm. You'll soon find that out. Every cell in you wants to just scream and run out and go do something when you need to be calm. You have to build that up. You have to cultivate that. Now, after you're in that condition, you open. Oh, this is a great thing in our contact with the Lord. Open. And I don't mean just saying, Lord, I open to you. I mean a thorough, from bottom, inside out, open. I mean like you make yourself naked before the Lord. You make yourself just entirely emptied before the Lord. In Song of Songs, the beloved, which is Christ, talked to His lover, that's us. My sister, open to me, he said. That was in that romance. Open to me. And then later on, this female said, I open to my beloved. I open to my beloved. We need to open our hearts. We need to open our eyes. I mean inner heart, inner eyes. We need to open our ears. It's all in the Bible, the inner ears. And in Revelation, famously, it says, I am knocking at the door. Remember that? He who would what? Hears my voice and opens the door. I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. The knocking is there. Even the Lord is knocking. Don't you have the experience every day the Lord is trying to get your attention? Do you? Knocking. Knocking. Just ever so slightly. Knocking. Hey, where are you? Knocking. I'm here. Knocking. Will you open? Will you stay close? Lord, wait a minute. I need 3 more days. Let's set up an appointment. A month from now. That's the only time when my calendar is clear. Yeah, we do these things. Even with the Lord. Even with the Lord. So you slot him in. Which we inevitably forget. Such appointments. And we end up month after month. Month after month. We made promises to ourselves. We made promises to the Lord. Never happened. And we wonder, how come we're so defeated? Open. When you're with the Lord, the first thing is not say this, that, pray. No. Open. I must right now give you, actually, by now I don't care whether we finish these 72 words or not this weekend. I don't think that's important. The important thing is the burden is there. Amen. We can always do something else. I must give credit to where credit is due. These words I came up with, the initial idea of it, came from a few sources. Number one is from Exodus, the life studies, where there's a whole section, especially messages 56 to 59, thereabouts, where Brother Lee talk about the way God gives the commandments of the law to the children of Israel in the way of love. In the way of love. That whole series talk about how these we are to handle the word in a way of love. Not to keep the law, but to love the law as the type of Christ. And that's the ultimate way we will fulfill the law. It's a marvelous series of messages where Brother Lee mainly used Psalms 119 to what? To teach us in the way we should handle his word. That impressed me very much. And the thought of these words is somewhat based on that. Some of these words, such as being affectionate, being personal, these came from this book, The Crystallization of the Song of Songs, chapters 1 and 2. You'll find some of that there. And I also want to give credit to this hymn we sang this morning, 784. That is a marvelous hymn. Pray to fellowship with Jesus. You will count in there at least 15 verbs that talks about what one should do, and a lot of these are in this list. And all these things are swirling in me that eventually gave rise to these 72 words. The next word is empty. Do you say it's not just open, but unload? How frequent, when we come to the Lord, we are like what? We're like this piece of paper. We say, Lord, please write on it. The Lord is saying, where do I write? In the margin, Lord. Okay. We are like a piece, not a bank piece of paper, but a Wall Street Journal. And go to the Lord and say, Lord, I open to you. Now start writing. The Lord couldn't find an inch to write. Or if he writes on top, it's unreadable. That means you're not empty. You're loaded. You bring to the Lord your worries, your concept, your thoughts, your disturbances, your ideas, your hurts. You should just empty. Lord, I'm empty. I'm blank. right. Speak, O Lord. Impress, O Lord. That's what the meaning of being empty. When you're full, the vessel is full, the oil stops. You know the story, right? In the Old Testament. Jehovah said to this man in Isaiah, to this man will I look, to him who is of a poor and of a contrite spirit. That poor doesn't mean poverty. That means empty, unloaded, nothing there, ready to be filled. Lord, fill me. Just fill me. This vessel is empty for you. 22. Ask. Ask. I don't need to say too much about this. The Bible is full of asking. And here I'm not even stressing asking for this, asking for these, you know, get a better grade, you know, better job. I'm talking about that certainly is included, but mainly asking, for the important things. Yeah. There's nothing better to ask for than to ask for himself. Yeah. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once I asked for all kinds of things, now I just ask for one thing, more of thee. O Lord, more of thee. There are a lot of songs, you know, talking about open, empty. There's another song, Nothing Between. Lord, nothing between. These are famous great hymns that will help us in these times with the Lord. Okay, I just finished these ones and we'll be done. Up to 24. The next one is seek. No, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, this is huge. These are all big root hairs. I tell you, if there's one thing Jehovah responds to, and that's your seeking of him. Seek Jehovah your God. Seek his face. Seek after God. I'm reading off different verses. Seek my face. In Song of Songs, I sought him, but found him not. I will seek him whom my soul loves. Seek Jehovah while he may be found. And you will seek me and find me if you search me with all of your heart. He says to the house of Israel, Jehovah, seek me and live. Seek and you will find. For he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. With diligence. Seek means you're looking to find. You're pursuing something or someone. Seek after God. Let's not seek after the things of the earth. Let's seek after him. Let's seek him. Let's seek to know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Last word, and I end here, knock. You know why knock? Because it's in the passage, that's sure. But I tell you, knock means desperation. You know this word knock doesn't mean you're pounding the door down kind of knock. That's a little too rough for the Lord. This knock here means knock reverently. But nevertheless, a knock. Sometimes the Lord is as if he's putting us to a test. when seeking, right? When asking, wouldn't cut it. Then comes a time to knock as a sign of great desperation. You're doing this. Open, Lord. You know, I do have this experience. I think you do too. Sometimes my general asking didn't do the job. And I know it. It doesn't do the job. My plain kind of, you know, seeking didn't do the job. I knew that's the time. It's some desperate measure is called for on my part. And that is I need to use my spirit to begin to knock. To put more weight into my, you know what I mean, my seeking. You know what? Many times I have the experience when I knock in that way, the answer comes. The answer came. And frequently, not at the moment, but after repeated knocking, sometimes several days in a row, sometimes several weeks in a row, I somewhat pound on the door because I was desperate with a need. And I tell you, the answer came. The answer came. Well, I think it's 12 o'clock. I had hoped to give time for the saints to share. I had wanted to speak less, but here I am. I spoke and filled up the time. Would you forgive me? Saints, take this to the Lord and begin today to restore your root times with the Lord again. You don't need to wait till tomorrow. This afternoon, today, get into these things and we will continue tonight. Let's have some prayer again with your neighbors. Amen. And we can just stop here.
Amen. I feel like I'm back. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we will come back tonight at what time?